A few years back, History of the Saints began production of 7 seasons of a documentary television series titled History of the Saints. Season 1, Foundations of the Restoration. Season 2, Joseph Smith's Kirtland. Season 3, From Pentecost to Persecution, The Missouri Years. And Season 4, Joseph Smith's Nauvoo. Then 3 more seasons telling the story of Brigham Young and the Saints, beginning with the Nauvoo Exodus in 1846, titled Gathering to the West. Then Building Zion. And finally, The Kingdom Endures. Altogether, over 100 hours of Latter-day Saint pioneer history. For these and all of History of the Saints books and DVD products, visit us at historyofthesaints.org.
Welcome to the History of the Saints podcast. My name is Glenn Rawson, series host. What you are about to listen to is an episode about the documentary history of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This episode is one of more than 250 presentations from 1805 and the birth of Joseph Smith the prophet through 1877 and the death of Brigham Young. This series interviews some of the finest scholars of our time and presents the latest in historical research and facts as it relates to early Latter-day Saint history. And it comes from the long-running, highly acclaimed television documentary series, History of the Saints. If you have a desire to learn the history in depth and detail, then this podcast is for you. Thank you for joining us. Coming up on History of the Saints, the formal legal organization of the Church of Christ in these last days. In a revelation to the prophet Joseph Smith in the summer of 1828, the Lord said, "If this generation harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them." That promise was noted by Joseph Smith and his brethren and anxiously awaited. Then in June of 1829, at the Peter Whitmer Cabin in Fayette, New York, came this significant event.
"The word of the Lord came unto us in the chamber, commanding us that I should ordain Oliver Cowdery to be an elder in the Church of Jesus Christ, and that he also should ordain me to the same office, and then to ordain others as it should be made known unto us from time to time. We were, however, commanded to defer this our ordination until such times as it should be practicable to have our brethren, who had been and who should be baptized, assembled together, when we must have their sanction to our thus proceeding to ordain each other, and have them decide by vote whether they were willing to accept us as spiritual teachers or not. Joseph Smith."
So they were to wait for an organizational conference. The date of that conference was designated by the Lord Himself.
"The rise of the Church of Christ in these last days, being 1,830 years since the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the flesh, it being regularly organized and established agreeable to the laws of our country, by the will and commandments of God, in the fourth month and on the sixth day of the month which is called April. Joseph Smith."
That great revelation would be called the Articles and Covenants of the Church. It was the foundational constitutional document of the early church. The word went out that the organization was coming. Meanwhile, the winter pressed on and the release date of the Book of Mormon approached.
So the Book of Mormon comes forth, and then within 2 weeks, you've got the meeting of the earliest converts. April 6, 1830, they meet in Fayette, New York, at the home of Peter Whitmer. This is where much of the Book of Mormon translation has happened. This is where the three witnesses of the Book of Mormon have seen the angel and the plates and the other artifacts somewhere nearby in the woods. And now you've got a house full of people, maybe 50 or 60 people gathered around the house if they don't all fit in. It's a Tuesday, and you've got the church being organized.
We've got the authority to baptize. We've got the Book of Mormon with the fullness of the gospel. We've got the authority to give the gift of the Holy Ghost. Everything is in place now. so that on April 6th, when Joseph and Oliver are sustained by the people who are assembled there, then that authority to give the Holy Ghost is activated. They can do that. They can baptize other members. They can bless the sacrament. And we have a congregation. We have a church.
And David Whitmer said that the meeting took place about 12 noon. David Whitmer said, the reason why we met on that day was this. The world had been telling us that we were not regularly organized as a church, and we had no right to officiate in the ordinance of marriage, nor to hold church property, and that we should organize according to the laws of the land. On this account, we met at my father's house in Fayette, according to the laws of the land. We believe that Joseph Smith and Oliver Cowdery were acting on an act to provide for the incorporation of religious societies. And New York State Legislature, 5 April 1813. And Section 3 of that Act of Incorporation that was enacted by the legislature. And be it further enacted that it shall be lawful for the male persons of full age belonging to any other church congregation or religious society now or hereafter to be established in this state and already incorporated to assemble at the church or meeting house or to the place where they steadily attend for divine worship, and by plurality of voices to elect any number of discreet persons of their church, congregation, or society, not less than 3, nor exceeding 9 in number, as trustees. Joseph arbitrarily chose 6 people to organize the church. It could have been 3 to 9.
The original of that incorporation document filed by Joseph Smith and his brethren has yet to be located. It fulfilled the laws of the land. On the day of organization, one of the first things that happened in that conference fulfilled a very important law of the Lord, the law of common consent.
Having opened the meeting by solemn prayer to our Heavenly Father, we proceeded according to previous commandment to call on our brethren to know whether they accepted us as their teachers in the things of the kingdom of God, and whether they were satisfied that we should proceed and be organized as a church according to said commandment, which we had received. To these several propositions, they responded by unanimous vote. Joseph Smith.
Edward Stevenson interviewed David Whitmer there in Richmond, and he asked him who was there or how many people were there. And David said on the 6th of April, 1830, there were 6 elders at the Peter Whitmer farm. David's father's 2 rooms were filled with members, about 20 from Colesville, 15 from Manchester Church, and about 20 from around about Father Whitmer's. About 50 members and the 6 elders were present.
So we're not even absolutely positive we know which 6 men were the founders of the church. Different versions of that in the different records. But certainly Joseph Smith was the first elder and Oliver Cowdery the second elder. We know that because Section 21 of the Doctrine and Covenants names them to those positions. So those are the only officers of the church from the beginning.
I then laid my hands upon Oliver Cowdery and ordained him an elder of the Church of Jesus Christ, after which he ordained me also to the office of elder of said church. Joseph Smith.
The first and second elders of the church were the first officers of the church. Next came the administration of the sacrament.
We then took bread, blessed it, and brake it with them. Also wine, blessed it, and drank it with them.
We know that they take the sacrament on that first day in the history of the church. They have a sacrament meeting. And so from the beginning, the ordinance of the Lord's Supper has been central to the worship of the Latter-day Saints.
We then laid our hands on each individual member of the church present, that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost and be confirmed members of the Church of Christ. The Holy Ghost was poured out upon us to a very great degree, and some prophesied, whilst we all praised the Lord and rejoiced exceedingly.
There's a revelation that comes that day that we call section 21 of the Doctrine and Covenants. And it is remarkable. It organizes the church. And the way it does that is by the Lord speaking to Joseph Smith, and then Joseph Smith speaking the revelation out to the saints. And that is the model for the church. That's what we would call the order of the church. And in the revelation, Joseph is told he'll be a prophet, an apostle, a seer, a translator, and that there should be a record kept. So from day one, literally, of the history of the church, we've known it was important to keep a history. Joseph will lament later that he didn't always do it as well as he might have, and he didn't always get the help he needed, but we've known from the beginning that it was important to keep a record. We know we don't have as good records as we wish we did of that organizational meeting. If there were minutes or records kept at the time, they've been lost and we don't have them anymore. And so we just have later reminiscences and reports of it.
Oliver later confirmed that on that day of organization, he indeed ordained Joseph Smith a prophet, seer, and revelator. Also on that day, the Spirit of the Lord designated other men, and they were ordained to the priesthood as well.
We now proceeded to call out and ordain some others of the brethren to different offices of the priesthood, according as the Spirit manifested unto us.
And what was the original name of the church?
In June 1829, the Lord gave us the name by which we must call the church, being the same as He gave the Nephites. We obeyed His commandment and called it the Church of Christ. David Whitmer.
We dismissed with the pleasing knowledge that we were now individually members of and acknowledged of God, the Church of Christ, organized in accordance with commandments and revelations given by Him to ourselves in these last days.
A few years back, History of the Saints began production of 7 seasons of a documentary television series titled History of the Saints. Season 1, Foundations of the Restoration. Season 2, Joseph Smith's Kirtland. Season 3, From Pentecost to Persecution, The Missouri Years. And Season 4, Joseph Smith's Nauvoo. Then 3 more seasons telling the story of Brigham Young and the Saints, beginning with the Nauvoo Exodus in 1846, titled Gathering to the West. Then Building Zion. And finally, The Kingdom Endures. Altogether, over 100 hours of Latter-day Saint pioneer history. For these and all of History of the Saints books and DVD products, visit us at historyofthesaints.org.
There is evidence that those who had already been baptized previous to the organization were now baptized again. And those who had not yet been baptized were baptized also on that day and in the days that followed. Since baptism precedes the other ordinances of the gospel, those baptisms occurred, as Lucy said, some of them in the morning before the conference organized. Among those who were baptized on that day, Joseph Smith Sr. and Martin Harris.
Father Knight recorded Joseph Smith's joy when his father, Joseph Sr., was baptized. Said Father Knight, "Old Mr. Smith and Martin Harris came forward to be baptized for the first. They found a place in a lot a small stream ran through, and they were baptized in the evening because of persecution. Joseph was filled with the Spirit to a great degree to see his father and Mr. Harris that he had been with so much. He burst out with grief and joy and seemed as though the world could not hold him. He went out into the lot and appeared to want to get out of sight of everybody and would sob and cry and seemed to be so full he couldn't live. Oliver and I went out after him and came to him, and after a while he came in. But he was the most wrought upon that I ever saw a man, but his joy seemed to be full." Marvelous quote.
Now, when April 6, 1830 had come, we had then established three branches of the Church of Christ, in which three branches were about 70 members. One branch was at Fayette, New York, one at Manchester, New York, and one at Colesville, New York. David Whitmer.
Oliver Cowdery later mentions that he was the first person baptized into the Church of Christ. We often think of the Church of Jesus Christ being organized on April 6th of 1830, which it was legally, but it began at that moment that Oliver was baptized in the Susquehanna River on March 15th of 1829. When he came out, he was a member of the Church of Jesus Christ, and he was confirmed a member later on after they received the Melchizedek priesthood and they took care of that ordinance elsewhere. I'm not sure the Lord even cared about the law. They needed to meet that legal requirement. But according to Oliver, when he is baptized, he's baptized as the first member of the Church of Jesus Christ.
The church grew steadily. And in accordance with Revelation, Oliver Cowdery was called to preach the first church discourse on April 11, 1830 in Fayette. Many people joined the church in those days when the church was first organized, among those whose lives collectively would have a huge impact on the church, the saints in Colesville, New York.
The church is barely organized, and Joseph Smith goes to Colesville to work with the Colesville saints, none of which are baptized yet. Father Knight wants to read the Book of Mormon first, he said. While they're holding meetings, Joseph Smith instructs Newell Knight that he must pray vocally, and Newell seems petrified by that assignment. And Joseph, in essence, said, "I'll help you." And Newell says, "No, I'll do it myself." And he goes out in the woods and tries and agonizes. Now, I don't understand if there's something expected in a public prayer beyond what a normal blessing on the food would be, let's say, or if there's expected to be some spiritual presentation that comes as a result of the... I don't know what the terror was or the hesitation to pray vocally was. When Newell comes back, he is distraught and he becomes distorted. And Joseph Smith recognizes quite quickly that Newell Knight has been possessed by the devil. It's a demon possession.
His visage and limbs distorted and twisted into every possible shape and appearance. Finally, he was caught up off the floor of the apartment and tossed around most fearfully. His situation was soon made known to his neighbors and relatives. In a short time, as many as 8 or 9 grown persons had come together to witness the scene. After he had thus suffered for some time, I succeeded in getting hold of him by the hand, when almost immediately he was able to speak and requested with great earnestness that I should cast the devil out of him. And he knew he was in him, and he also knew that I could cast him out. I replied, "If you know that I can, it shall be done." And almost unconsciously I rebuked the devil and commanded him in the name of Jesus Christ to depart from him.
Joseph, in essence, casts out the devil. And 9 or 10 people see this happen. And then he just collapses. Newell Knight just collapses on the bed. Newell said, "I saw the heaven open and beheld the Lord Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And this is my testimony. It was not a dream, but a vision, like the vision of Stephen, who on the day of his martyrdom had a similar view." So in May of 1830, Newell Knight becomes the first of this cluster of people to be baptized.
Joseph would later declare this experience as the first miracle of the church in this dispensation.
The church had its first conference in June of 1830, and at that conference people were baptized, confirmed, ordained, and Newell Knight was there, and he had again one of these magnificent visions. visions or spiritual experiences, and he recorded this.
A vision of futurity also suddenly burst upon me, and I saw represented the great work which, through the instrumentality of Joseph Smith, was to be accomplished. I saw the heavens opened. I beheld the Lord Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Newell Knight.
Among those baptized was Emma Smith, and in the Knight family, relative after relative after relative, these Pecks and Knights, it's the congregation now, there is a branch, so to speak. And at first, Hiram Smith will be sent there to be the branch president. Later, Newell Knight will be the branch president over these Colesville Saints.
Joseph would later describe what those first days in the restored church were like.
To find ourselves engaged in the very same order of things as observed by the holy apostles of old, to realize the importance and solemnity of such proceedings, and to witness and feel with our own natural senses the like glorious manifestations of the powers of the priesthood, the gifts and blessings of the Holy Ghost, and the goodness and condescension of a merciful God unto such as obey the everlasting gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, combined to create within us sensations of rapturous gratitude and inspire us with fresh zeal and energy in the cause of truth.
Among those features that uniquely characterized the new Church of Christ in this dispensation, missionary work.
On April 6th, 1830, the church was organized. Shortly after this, my sons were all ordained to the ministry, even Don Carlos, who was but 14 years of age, Lucy Mack Smith.
One summer evening, a Methodist circuit preacher stopped for the night and was approached by a roughly dressed young man. "I have a book, sir, I would like you to read," he said. "Pray, sir," answered Phineas. "What book have you?" "The Book of Mormon," the young man said, "or as it is called by some, the Golden Bible." Phineas took the book and began to read the testimony of the witnesses. When he looked up, the young man said, "If you will read that book with a prayerful heart, God will give you a witness that it is true." Phineas promised that he would read the book. And then he said, "What is your name?" And the young man said, "Samuel H. Smith." "Well, then you are one of the witnesses of this book," Phineas exclaimed. "I am, sir," said Samuel. "And I know that that book is a revelation from God, and that Joseph Smith Jr., my brother, is a prophet, seer, and revelator." Phineas took the book home and read it twice in 2 weeks. And then, as so often happens, he passed the book on to his family. From that book would come Brigham Young, his brothers, his father, his sister, and the family of Heber C. Kimball. And so it went. I'm Glenn Rawson, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on what you have listened to, please go to historyofthesaints.org. The History of the Saints team that produced this podcast has also produced numerous books and full-length documentaries on early Latter-day Saint church history and the key figures that made that history. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
This podcast of History of the Saints has been produced by Dennis Lyman and Glenn Rawson. History of the Saints is a 501c3 nonprofit organization.